You're listening to a podcast of Mission Community Church. For sermon resources and to learn more about our church, visit mission68.org.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Veterans Weekend. Can I see the hands of all of those who have served our country in the military? Let me see your hands. Let's give them a nice thank you. We give a special welcome to you this morning. We are glad that you're here. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, we're going to talk today about the heart. We have to lay the groundwork today for next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about your child's heart. Today, we have to prepare for that as we talk about your heart. So as you're turning to Matthew 15, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. If you have someone in your life or have had someone in your life who drains the life out of you. Notice how I put that in the past, too, just in case you're with that person right now. Would you raise your hand and just be real honest? You have someone in your life or have had someone in your life that drains it out of you. Let's see if you're ready to walk humbly this morning, though. The next question gets a little deeper. If you have been that person that drains the life out of another individual, would you be honest enough to admit that this morning? All right, 10:30. Walking humbly, I love that. We're going to look at the heart. We're going to look at a large portion of Scripture today in Matthew 15. It's the most comprehensive teaching we have from Jesus on how the heart works. And what you're going to see in this text are a lot of issues, but Jesus, the master teacher, plows right past the issues to deal with what's really important. And the real issue is the heart. We tell couples this all the time in counseling. The issue is rarely ever the issue. You may have come in here to deal with money or parenting, sex, the in-laws, job, career, whatever, but we want to get beneath the surface. I love when a couple comes in and says, we have money problems, help us, and three sessions in, they're like, hey, we haven't talked about money yet, because money's not the issue. The heart is the issue, and this entire text, as you read it and you see all of the issues that are being addressed from the Pharisees and from the disciples, Jesus brings everything back to the heart, and then he ends this portion of Scripture with a clear teaching on this is how the heart works. So let's start in chapter 15, verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, let's again be real honest. If you have some form of antibacterial product on you right now, would you raise your hand? Be real. Look at that. The germaphobes are at 10:30 Sunday morning at Mission. Can I just tell you, this is the first issue that's brought up, and Jesus is not going to deal with hygiene. He's not going to address hygiene. So for some of you that got real excited because you have that bottle hanging on your purse, this is not what Jesus is going to address, and he's going to move right past the issue of hygiene and take it to another level, and he's going to look at the issue of traditions. Traditions aren't bad. They give us a beautiful framework in which we can express our faith, but when they're brought to the level of Scripture, to the level of the commands of God, that's when they become sin and not healthy, and Jesus is going to move from hygiene. He's going to deal right with the issue of traditions and what the Pharisees have done with it. Verse 3, Jesus replied. And again, master teacher approach here. Always answer a question with a question. And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother or mother must be put to death. This is the command of God. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. In other words, the Pharisees had set up a tradition that allowed people to get out of the responsibility of caring for aging or needy parents and said, so long as you say it was a gift devoted to God, you can get out of that responsibility. And look at what it says. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And verse 7, Jesus is going to keep going, and we're going to see this text develop, and it's going to be heart, heart, and more heart. Verse 7, you hypocrites, the donning of a mask. You're acting a certain way. You've put on the religious mask, but deep down we know what's really going on. And he says this, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. This is the first part of the heart and how it works that we see in verse 11. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but it's what comes out of his mouth. That is what makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and asked, and I love this, the disciples are trying to keep everybody happy with Jesus, and they said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And Jesus comes in, do you think he's gonna get softer? He's going to get stronger. If Mark Conley has ever offended you with anything that he said, he's learned it from the master teacher. Because Jesus says this. He doesn't stop or try to appease. He says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Lead them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, explain this to us. So Jesus gently says, are you still so dull? Verse 17, and here's where we get to the heart of the text. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? My 8-year-old son always loves, I teach this text a lot to my kids, and he loves when we get to that verse, and they're like, explain that one to me, Dad. And I go, okay, you know what Jesus is talking about, Carson, verse 17. And verse 18, and then I want to give you a very practical way that you can teach this in your family and to your children. Verse 18, so important to get into the hearts of our kids. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. We don't want to be a home of behavior modification. We want a home where a love for Jesus and knowing that he is the boss is impressed upon the hearts of our children. I'm going to read verse 18 again. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. It's verse 18 that I've tried for a few years now to find the simplest way possible to explain this to my kids. And I just want to challenge you. I want to share with you how I teach this and how I want our family to really understand the issue of the heart. And I would love to challenge you to go home and do the same thing. And for me, it is this clear plastic or glass jug that I keep under the sink in our kitchen. And anytime I sense a need for a lesson on the heart, I pull the jug out and I set it on the counter. And it's usually met with, because the kids know a lecture is coming. And then they start backpedaling. No, 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 Dad, we're okay. I'm sorry, sis. I love you, Carson, right? They start, nope. Too late. The jug is out. Lecture begins. And I'll ask them. I'll say, all right, kids, what is this? And in our home, we call the heart, this pitcher, the love jug. And they'll say, it's the love jug, Dad. I go, what does the love jug represent? It represents my heart. Okay, who is responsible for your heart? I am responsible for my heart. What comes out of your heart? Who's responsible for that? I'm responsible for that. So your brother bumps into you, your sister bumps into you, and something comes out that you didn't mean to come out. Is it their fault? No. Whose fault? It's mine. Why? Because we want you to take 100% responsibility for your heart. This is Daddy's love jug, and I'm going to use my heart as the illustration this morning, but this is my love jug. My desire is that this is as full as possible with God's love. And so I take the hose from the sink and I start filling it up. I go, my goal is to make sure that every day I start off as close to full as possible because it's in the best interest of all of my relationships for me to be as full as possible. And then, oh, I love doing this. It's my favorite thing to do. Then I go to the cupboard and I start grabbing all sorts of glasses that represent the people in my life that I will pour out to, that I will pour into. And so I go and I start getting glasses out, and I get all different sizes and shapes, and they represent all the people in my life. And the kids are sitting there like going, how many of you love when the kids roll their eyes at you when you're trying to teach them something? You will sit there and you will enjoy this lecture. right? Let me see if I got all this just right. Okay, and so I say, hey, I'm gonna start pouring into people, and what I've done is I've filled it up from the sink as full as possible, and I grab it, and let me ask you, Mission, who's the first person in my life that I wanna pour into? My wife, I like that. My wife, Amy Cunningham, October 19th, 1996. I married her, and I wanna pour into her. Now, I've gotta tell you something, this glass definitely represents her. Bow, bow, chicka, chicka, bow, bow. But I grew up independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Version only Baptist. This is not an approved glass, just so you know. This is what you get when you come to Mission. So I start pouring into Amy. The average woman speaks 20,000 words a day. The average man speaks 7,000 words a day. I want to give her my words. Just giving her my words. And my desire is to give her the overflow. I want to give her as much as possible. Maybe you're single in here and you're thinking, that's what I need. Life will not be complete until I have a wife. And then you get married and you realize, hold on, stick with me here. That was not meant as it came out. And a few years in, you think, why am I not getting everything out of this marriage that I planned on? Or that I expected. Listen, money doesn't send anyone to divorce court. It's unmet expectations. It's the gap between what we expect and what we're realizing. And that gap, we like to use this socially acceptable term called stress, but really it's anger. We're mad. And so we sit there and we begin pouring into, and we're like, it's not enough. Our home's missing something. What can we do to bring 24/7 joy into our home? Companionship and love and unconditional love and jump in the arm love that says, I love you, Daddy, and kisses me on every. We need children. Because children bring life and joy. Some of you guys. I'm trying to build the tension in the room. But then it's not long we realize they're the greatest suckers of life. Outright. I mean, they're the ones that cause you to sit in the driveway at night praying, Father, give me one good reason why I should go in there right now. Those little terrorists are waiting for me on the other side of the door. But Amy and I, we were the same way. Many years into marriage, we decided we need children. So on August 4th, 2003, we had Corinne Mae Cunningham. And if the average woman speaks 20,000 words a day and the average man speaks 7,000 words a day, my daughter speaks about 80,000 words a day. But I want to give her my words. Listen, she has more social energy than our entire family put together. We get in the car after church on Sunday, and my wife and I and Carson, we just sit back in the seat, and we just take a moment. But people energize my daughter. And I mean, she's like, and her little brother doesn't know how to handle this. Right? And there are just many times he's looking at her like, wow, where is all this coming from? And she'll just be like, hey, Carson, when we get home, you want to go upstairs? We can do this one. We can make this. Let's do the bracelet. Let's do the loom. Let's get home. And let's go out on the bed. Da, 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 da. And Carson's like, sissy! And he just needs a second. That's all he needs. But you know, after we had Corinne, my wife and I, we were sitting around one night, and we were looking at each other, and we said, you know what? We are so good at this parenting thing. We should bless the earth with more of our children. So on June 2nd, 2005, we had Carson Matthew Cunningham. And shortly after that, decided that the earth had plenty of children. My son's so easy to pour into right now, I gotta be honest with you. He's passionate about Bear Grylls, Man versus Wild. And if you're a real man, you will never again use matches, right? Mom needs a candle lit, you put some dryer lint in it, you take your knife and your Flintstone, and you get that fire started. In 2 weekends, he's been planning this trip forever. He said, Dad, all I want to do, now he's 8, he goes, I just want to go out into the woods for a night and you and I survive. We're going to survive. Right? Because I catch him out in the yard looking at critters and bugs, and I never thought, this isn't in any book I've ever read, to tell your kid, hey, don't eat that. It's a frog. Let him hop off and do his own thing, right? But he's passionate about it, so he goes, Dad, we're going into the woods, and we're going into the woods with nothing but a Flintstone knife and canteen. What he doesn't know is we're going into the woods right behind Cracker Barrel. That's my plan. So, pouring into Carson. And then my parents, they moved to Branson, Missouri about 8 years ago. They lived two streets over because I wouldn't let them live on our street because we watch way too much Everybody Loves Raymond. And my dad, I love him to pieces. And I told him, I said, Dad, because I love you, I've got to tell you this. You watch way too much Fox News. Way too much Fox News. Because when I come in the house at night and I'm like, hey, Dad, how's it going? Well, we're going to hell in a handbasket. That's how it's going. Hey, Dad. I'm like, Dad, you have got to watch more Joel Osteen. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, okay, no, Dad, I'm not getting theological. But I go, Dad, you can't watch that stuff all day long and be any kind of happy, right? The same news cycle repeated every 30 minutes. I go, it's just not good for your soul. My mom, she's easy to pour into. Right now, she's at that place. She's 64. She turned 65 in a couple of months. And she's at that place in life where every time you go over, she gives you a box of stuff. Right? She's just done with stuff. Like, get it out of here. I'm done. We're no longer collecting any. Anybody have a parent like that? I love that. And I found the easiest way to pour into my mom right now, I just want to honor her. How do I show my mom honor? She feels honored when she knows I'm connected to my brother. It's interesting how much senior parents love knowing that their children are getting along and enjoying. So when I walk in the house, here's the fastest way to pour into my mom. Hey, Mom, I talked to Andy today. You did? How's he doing? You know dang well how he's doing. You talked to him 2 hours ago. But she wants to know from me. It's the easiest way to pour into my mom. This little shot glass represents my mother-in-law. That's all that gets. It's so fun. It's amazing how I don't have to teach anything on that glass right there. We're moving on to your boss. So then you go to work, and here's the man. Here's the woman who never is satisfied, right? Hey, Tom, we loved your numbers last quarter, but it's a new quarter. I need you to do this, and I need you to take care of this, and then you call so-and-so, and we go to work, and we pour out at work. Then we leave the boss's office, and we go back to our cubicle, and in the cubicle right next to us is someone who sucks the life right out of us. How many of you are next to that person at work? Be real honest. Raise your hand. Yeah. Now, here's the whole point of the illustration. Listen, if you go home and start teaching the heart this way in the love jug, it'll change the way you look at the scripture. It'll change the way you look at the scripture because Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. In other words, everything I say and do flows from this right here. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, let me give you the definition of codependency because I bring this jug out anytime I sense codependency creeping into our home. Because codependency is sitting around waiting for all of these people that you're pouring into to pour back into you. And this is why your marriage is so drained. This is why your home is so exhausted. This is why work has you so frustrated because you give them everything. You give them the best of your time and they're not, maybe some of them are not pouring into you at all, but then others are not pouring into you to the degree you think they should pour into you. And here's a definition of codependency. It's the simplest definition that I know. It plugs into people, places, or things as the source of life. And you look to these people as the source of life. And let me give you some examples. And we'll start with marriage. Do you know when a marriage is exhausted? And this is what counseling is all about. And it's one of the reasons I love doing couples counseling because the couples walk in and usually you can spot it on their face. Before they even step foot in the office, you have two people walking in, and I always picture them as a love jug. I do, and it's you know, sometimes, but what I see, two people walking in with close to empty love jugs. They're at the end, and some of them, it's not this clear blue fresh water, it's dark poison, it's toxicity. And here's the decision that they make. You do need to make new decisions when your marriage is drained and you're exhausted and at the end. But what I find and what the goal of counseling is to help people make good decisions. But here's the decision that most have made, and I'm just going to use the wife as an example. She comes in, and she's made the decision. She's done pouring. Done. I give, and 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 he takes, and he takes, and he takes, and he takes, and I'm tired of it, and I will no longer pour. If you Google today codependency, you're going to get this. You're going to get 5 to 6 textbook definitions, but the easiest one to remember is excessive emotional reliance. Because what's happening in marriage, you're pouring, 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 and codependency is, I'm going to pour into you until I get back from you. And I'm just going to keep pouring, keep pouring. And then I'm shocked. Why did I not? I thought for sure all that I did to pour into you would mean you would have this overflow in you and this desire to just pour right back into me. And you're left with total frustration. And we know the differences in marriage. We thought getting married, you know, all we have to do is get on the same page. But you know, oneness isn't about sameness. I don't need Amy to be like me, right? Because we're not alike at all. My wife's a passionate woman, and everything she does, it's like knife in the teeth, take the hill. We're going for it, like an exercise. And she's on this new thing where like almost all of our meals are liquefied in a Vitamix because there's an evil force upon the land, and it's called Pinterest. And it has duped women into sneaking stuff into meals and liquefying stuff. I came home the other day and I told her, I said, you know, if you start the meal off by telling me you'll get used to it, probably not going to be a great meal. And I came home the other day and I thought she was rewarding me because I saw a pan of brownies sitting on the counter. I'm like, she loves me. She loves me. So I cut into that corner piece that has been ordained by Almighty God. And I pulled it out of the pan. She was watching me, and I took a bite, and I went, something's off. But husband 101, you don't make faces, right? You don't, and she goes, what do you think? I said, it walks like a brownie. It talks like a brownie. But there's something missing. I think you just missed an ingredient. She goes, no, I didn't miss an ingredient. I put zucchini in it. Don't even know you. As we've read in Matthew 15:4, when you put vegetables in a brownie, it nullifies the brownie. And it's bad. I said, you can't do that. But see, we can spend our days plugged into one another as a source of life, but we've made the decision. We're going after oneness without sameness. Right? So, Amy, you're not my source of life. I want to give you the overflow of my life. The first thing to bring some energy back to your marriage starts by unplugging from the wrong source, and the wrong source is your spouse. Unplug from your spouse is the source of life. What happens in the marriage when this starts going bad? Okay? When you look to your spouse as the source of life, you blame them as the source of the problems. And what happens, you don't even know that you did it, but you blame them as the source of the problem. You automatically set them up to be the solution. And now you're stuck. You can't do anything. Well, we're going to give you a better solution. And what happens when we get to the end and this relationship isn't working well? We double down on our relationship with the kids. When your child becomes your source of life, you use them to impress other people. And we have fallen as parents, and I'm going to just say here, Christian and non-Christian, we've fallen for this faulty input-output theory of parenting that teaches whatever I put in my child is what I will get out of my child. And there's always a couple of people go, yeah. And you know what it leads to? Besides excessive Facebook posting, it leads to a mom or a dad who takes way too much credit and way too much blame for the way their children turn out. And so, you know, best schools, best neighborhoods, get them in sports. We're going to give them everything because a successful kid equals successful parent. And so pour into our kids, give them everything, and we'll get something out of them. But you are learning like I have learned in my home. Children are not the source of life. Children are not the source of life. What about your parents? When your parents are your source of life, you begin to make decisions based on how they think and feel. When my mom and dad are my source of life, there's two ways that I really attach to home. One is approval, and the other is anger. I begin to make decisions. I vote based on how my mom and dad will feel about it. Many of you, as baptism comes up here in the next month, you will make the decision of whether or not to be baptized. And some of you will withhold from being baptized because you are too attached to home. Your parents are your source of life, and they baptized you years ago, and you've made now a decision for Christ, and your church is encouraging you to get baptized. But because of that approval, I'm not going to do it. We run into this all the time in the church. People drive cars, same make and model, because they know dad would approve. Though many of you are attending a church based on parents. Some of you are attending mission, and you haven't told your parents yet. You're like, I know they're coming for the holidays. We're just going to try to keep it secret because of that approval. But then on the other side, we withhold pouring into our parents because of anger. We're tied to home with unresolved anger, like drinking poison, expecting mom and dad to get sick. There's another relationship. I didn't have it up here. But when the person you're dating becomes your source of life, you're looking for houses on the first date. Right? If you're talking about children before the salad shows up, you're leaning towards excessive emotional reliance. And it's what I hear today in the dating scene. Young people tell me, boy, we show up for the first date. There's way too much expectation on the first date. All these people are not your source of life. So who is your source of life? I last Friday, I hit the ground in Indianapolis for a marriage conference, the Fun Loving You Marriage Conference. And when I hit the ground, I always go to a Bed Bath & Beyond or a Pier 1 Imports to get my props. And so I walk in, and I had time, and so I was excited, and I always go to the clearance bin because I am cheap. And if you've ever been to Pier 1, you know there are nooks and crannies all over that store. So I go, I find the Love Jug half off, and it was like the clouds opening. And I grab it, and I run. So I got all excited. I go up, and I put it on the counter, and what I do is I run around the store looking for stuff. I don't do it with a cart because that would be practical. And so I run around the store looking for all the glasses, and I start laying them out, make sure I have them all. And there was no one in the store, and Stacy, one of the cashiers, and her coworker, they were standing there. And I could tell they were just intrigued. They were actually laughing at me, and I finally come back up, and I'm ready to go. I've got everything I need. And Stacy goes, okay, we're dying to know. What in the world are you doing? I said, well, I said, I'm here for a marriage conference, and I teach codependency in one of the sessions and how it applies to your marriage, and these are all my props. And she said, well, explain it to us. And I looked around, nobody around, and I thought, you know what, I'll just launch into it. So about a 10-minute sermon on Proverbs 4:23. And I didn't have liquid, but I'm pouring into all of the relationships. And I get to the end, and I go, and here's the bottom line. Codependency is waiting for all of these people to pour back into me. But these people are not my source of life. And she asked, well, if these people are not your source of life, then who's your source of life? And I'm like, ooh. And I don't have the gift of evangelism, and this is even, it's a struggle for me. And my first thought was, I'm sure you can go on our website and find out that answer. I said, Lord, please don't let me, like, scream the name of Jesus at her. But here's the main point of the whole message. Jesus is my source of life, not you. Jesus is my source of life, not you. And she pauses, and we talk a little bit more, and she says, you know what? She says, my husband left me. So I could tell now the tears are flowing, and I can see that where that anger is sitting in her soul. And she said, my husband left me to raise four kids. And she said, I had no idea how hard it would be to raise four kids and to make a mortgage payment on $8 an hour. I'm like, ugh. She got a notepad out of the drawer and she said, where can I get some more information? And I gave her information and it was neat. I shared this with the church that I was at last week and they said, hey, would you give us some resources? We know who you're talking about. We want to take them to her. And that church now is ministering to her to know who the true source of life is. Here's the bottom line. All of these are limited supplies. No matter how hard I work, I can't generate or produce love. It is impossible for me to generate or produce love. So how do I plug into the true and only source of life? 1 John puts it this way. Don't turn there. We'll read it on the screens. It says this in 1 John chapter 4. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know, and I love this, and rely on the love God has for us. We plug into God, the true and only source of life. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. My Father will love you, and we will come and make our home with you. In a few months, we're going to get to Acts chapter 17, where Paul is standing before the Areopagus, and he's in Athens, and he declares about Jesus. Jesus, in him, we live and move and have our being. It goes on to say this, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Verse 19 says, God is love. We love because he first loved us. I love doing this with the kids, going over to the sink and grabbing the nozzle and say, you know what? I'm going to the true and only source, unlimited supply. Do y'all remember the morning we woke up to the dreaded news that Twinkies went bankrupt? I hadn't had a Twinkie in 30 years, but my first thought was, quick! We gotta get to the store and stock up on Twinkies. Or have you been there at home when you get a knock on the door and you open it and it's a construction worker going, hey, we're doing some work down the street. We need to turn the water off for an hour. I'm thirsty. Honey, fill up the tubs and the sinks. We're gonna be out of water. No, sir, it's just an hour. But we think we're not gonna have any. We're gonna run out. That's what happens when you plug into your wife, your children, your parents, your in-laws, your work, your boss, your career, money, whatever you plug into is the source of life. Some of you right now, you come in here exhausted, like you're done. You got nothing left to give. And by the way, just so you know, this is, if you ever are in, you probably don't deal with it here like we do in Branson, but road rage, okay? People mad while driving, it's this right here. I'm not making them late to their meeting. They've got an empty love jug and they didn't get up on time. And that is coming out now through the vehicle. And some of you can relate to running on empty right now. But Ted, I wish what I did have in the tank was clear and it was the beautiful supply that we get from our Heavenly Father. But what's in me right now is ugly and nasty. It is toxic poison. And when my wife bumps into me, when my kids bump into me, when my boss bumps into me, when my coworker bump into me, all that comes out is... Some of you right now, you have a parent that you refuse to pour into, and you will not forgive them until they prove it. I will forgive when I see. I will forgive when I hear. And in you, and take a look at my face is taken on this. I won't do it because you know why? You're using your parents as the source of forgiveness. Your parents are not the source of forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 puts it this way. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. By the way, where does that come from? It flows from here. Jesus says what comes out is an issue of the heart. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Where do we forgive? From the source, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You can forgive a parent who hasn't asked for it. You can love a spouse who hasn't asked, doesn't want it. By unplugging from your spouse and your children and your parents as a source of life and plugging into the true and only source of life, you can pour into other people without the expectation of them pouring back into you. So we're going to end with this very practical, but it's full of energy and emotion so you don't forget it, okay? So last form of participatory sermon material here. So raise your right hand and repeat after me if you would. Raise your right hand. Okay, ready? Repeat after me. I state your name. It's in every section, every service at Mission, just so you know. Do hereby resign as general manager of the universe, of my spouse, of my kids, of my parents, of my in-laws, of my boss, and you name whoever you have to name. Some of you, I just heard somebody go, and you name whoever you have to name. That's my Catholic friends down here. Love you. Anyway, so now do this. This is going to set you free in Jesus. I want you to point to your spouse for the very last time in your life. You'll never blame your spouse again for the source of all your problems. OK, because you're unplugged, and here's how you're going to unplug. Say these words and say them with passion so you don't forget them. You're fired. You will no longer drain the life out of me. You don't have to say that part, but that's the part that you feel. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that through Jesus, in him we live and move and have our being. He is our true and only source of life, and he is an unlimited supply. We leave here today knowing that everything we say and do flows from the heart, and we want to know our hearts. As Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. I pray for many who come in here drained. Their love jug is empty. They've got nothing left. Their marriages are exhausted. Their children are exhausted. Every relationship they're in right now just is drained and depleted, that today they would leave here energized knowing who the source is, and that we can see the best marriages out there, the ones where both husband and wife are connected to the true and only source of life and giving one another the overflow. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone agreed and said, amen. Thank you, Mission.